Are you tired of your favorite cut of beef or chicken costing more and weighing less every time you buy it from the store? Well, Good Ranchers Price Lock Guarantee offers a sizzling solution. During their April Price Shield campaign, Good Ranchers is not just offering a temporary fix, but a long-term solution. They're locking in your price until 2026 when you subscribe to one of their boxes. GoodRanchers.com is where I get the most tender meat that's full of flavor every time. With options like beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood, they have something for even the pickiest of eaters. There's no reason to order takeout when you can make something far better at home. Good Ranchers even offers recipes to take your cooking skills to the next level. With meat prices on the rise and store-bought meat quality on the decline, Good Ranchers Price Shield will not just save you hundreds, but give you the best 100% American meat that you'll ever eat. Right now, when you go to GoodRanchers.com and use promo code DAILYWIRE, you'll get their exclusive price shield plus an additional 10% off your order. This offer ends at the end of the month, so if you want to secure your best price until 2026, go to GoodRanchers.com and use code DAILYWIRE. That's GoodRanchers.com, promo code DAILYWIRE.
Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson showed up to Columbia University in New York this week amid days of anti-Israel protests, and even as hecklers and protesters jeered him, he lit up the university administration.
Sadly, Columbia's administrators have chosen to let the threats, the fear, and the intimidation of the mob rule to overtake American principles like free speech and the free exchange of ideas and the free exercise of religion. They have co-opted First Amendment arguments to protect genocide and to elevate the voices of anti-Semitism. They have proven themselves to be incapable of achieving their basic responsibility, which is keeping students safe. We just can't allow this kind of hatred and anti-Semitism to flourish on our campuses, and it must be stopped in its tracks. Those who are perpetrating this violence should be arrested. And I'm here today joining my colleagues and calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos. As Speaker of the House, I am committing today that the Congress will not be silent as Jewish students are expected to run for their lives and stay home from their classes hiding in fear. In the House of Representatives, we've already acted to address anti-Semitism on campuses. We have passed a number of statutes to address this matter, and we call upon the U.S. Senate to act upon our legislation.
First off, good on Mike Johnson for going into the lion's den. Politicians almost never go anywhere these days where they might face pushback. And their timidity and cowardice has reached an absurd high in recent years. It only seems to get worse. So good on him for addressing a hostile crowd. Also, good on him for lighting up the Ivy League administration. Whatever you think of the State of Israel and the Gaza War, we can all agree that campus leftists, especially in the elite schools, have poisoned the American mind for two generations now, at least. And anything that takes them down a peg is great in my book. Now, in part, what Speaker Johnson is talking about is about standing up to injustice and racial cruelty, which every decent person supports. Also, Mike Johnson is up there because he cares a lot about America's support for Israel. He's said as much repeatedly, and by the way, most Republicans agree with him, all well and good. But Americans care about other issues too. The border, the economy, parental rights, the list goes on and on. It's great to see a Republican fired up and facing down the mob for the first time in decades that I can remember, and calling for administrative heads to roll, wielding political power. I love it. I am as happy as anyone to see trans flag waving, Hamas supporting faculty lounge commies get their comeuppance. And now, what I think we'd all like to see is that same kind of fervor and boldness and perseverance from Republicans on all the other issues that we consider perhaps even more urgent. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. Welcome back to the show. Did you know Joe Biden used to drive an 18-wheeler? Big old Mack truck, apparently. I don't see any evidence for it. We'll get to some of President Biden's new tall tales in just a moment. First, though, text Knowles to 989898. As our national debt continues to skyrocket, you need to be confident in the financial services companies you work with, especially regarding your money and future. Birch Gold is a proven industry leader you want on your side. They demonstrate how precious metal investments can fortify your lifestyle and retirement, even in turbulent economic times. Birch Gold understands that navigating financial decisions can be daunting. That is why their expertise, coupled with their customer care process, ensures that your purchase or IRA setup is a breeze. If you're considering converting an existing retirement account into a precious metals IRA, their dedicated in-house IRA department is there to guide you every step of the way, making the process feel as simple as a walk in the park. Birch Gold values your questions and concerns. Their team is always available to provide answers and clarity, whether it's about fees, taxes on rollovers, or the timing of the process. They are here to ensure that you are heard and informed. Text Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, to 989898 to talk to one of Birch Gold's experts and claim your free info kit on gold. You will learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Best part is, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Just text Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, to 989898. That is Knowles to 989898. Speaking of New York, before we move out of New York, you've got Speaker Johnson standing up to the Hamas faculty lounge set over there in West Harlem. There was also that bodega where Trump campaigned up by West Harlem. That was after his I think, day two of his trial. Well, we're only a handful of days into the trial, and a judge in that trial, Juan Merchan, could send Trump to jail for 30 days. Not if he's convicted of what he's being accused of in the trial, but just for violating his gag order while he is defending himself.
And I don't even know if you're allowed to put him in. We have a gag order, which to me is totally unconstitutional. I'm not allowed to talk, but people are allowed to talk about me. So they can talk about me, they can say whatever they want, they can lie, but I'm not allowed to say anything. I just have to sit back and look at why a conflicted judge has ordered me to have a gag order. I don't think anybody's ever said anything like this. I'd love to talk to you people. I'd love to say everything that's on my mind, but I'm restricted because I have a gag order.
He's restricted. They're not letting the Republican nominee for president speak about the political persecution that they are inflicting on him in the heat of the campaign for president. That's absurd. Yet another reason why we have generally refrained from prosecuting presidents and leaders of the opposition in the United States. Now, however, the Democrats blow up that constitutional norm. So what does he do? Does a very Trump thing. He goes out, he holds a press conference. He says, look, I'm not allowed to say anything. I'm here to tell you something very important, but I can't say it, actually. I'm here to tell you that I can't tell you anything because this crooked Democrat judge is not allowing him to speak, because the crooked Democrat establishment is prosecuting him, because the crooked Democrat establishment knows if it were a fair fight, he would win the presidency. That's what it's all about. And he's telling you that by saying that he is not allowed to tell you anything at all. The judge doesn't like this. The Democrats broadly don't like this. So they're threatening to throw him in jail if he speaks about relevant political matters during his presidential campaign. I hope they do it. I hope they do it. If they do it, Donald Trump will win 57 states. In any state that has an even remotely fair election system, Donald Trump will win it if they throw this guy in jail for speaking during a presidential campaign. The political order will not tolerate that. Our political order is pretty far decayed. It is a far cry from what it was 200, 100, even 50 years ago. That is a bridge too far. Jailing major... The last time we did this was 100 years ago. Woodrow Wilson jailed his socialist opponent, Eugene Debs. And even then, Debs was a minor candidate. I think he got, 8% of the vote or something? He was still the socialist candidate. You're talking about one of the two major party nominees for president. You're going to throw him in jail for speaking on political matters during a campaign? We're not that far gone yet. We're not quite in Putin's Russia yet. We're not quite in Xi's China yet. I dare you. I hope they keep playing this game of chicken. Donald Trump is not the kind of guy I would want to play chicken with, but please, Judge Mershon, if you're listening right now, I'm begging you, please throw Trump in jail. Please. The Democrats aren't going to win dog catcher in San Francisco if you throw Trump in jail. Be my guest. Make my day. Also in a New York courtroom yesterday, Harvey Weinstein had his 2020 rape conviction overturned. People are shocked by this news. Harvey Weinstein is the face of sexual predation, of everything wrong in Hollywood. He is the poster boy of the Me Too movement. And yet, even in liberal New York, his rape conviction was overturned. Why is that? Is it because a bunch of sexist men, male judges, were just colluding to defend Weinstein's misogyny? No, actually, his conviction was overturned by a panel of appellate judges who were mostly women. And they said, quote, "We conclude that the trial court erroneously admitted testimony of uncharged, alleged prior sexual acts against persons other than the complainants of the underlying crimes. The remedy for these egregious errors is a new trial." So they're saying, look, when he was convicted, there was just all this rumor mongering about all these women who weren't really relevant to the case. They weren't formally accusing him of any crime. No one had really investigated the supposed crimes. It was just all to paint a picture of Harvey Weinstein as a total sex freak, which he obviously was. The court majority went on, says, "It is an abuse of judicial discretion to permit untested allegations of nothing more than bad behavior that destroys a defendant's character but sheds no light on their credibility as related to the criminal charges lodged against them." Now, Weinstein still has a 16-year prison sentence in L.A. for a separate but similar trial. But the overturning of this conviction in New York overturns a 23-year sentence, and it is a kind of a vindication on the criminal front in that. And this was a very unpopular opinion at the time, but it was true then and it remains true now. The main thing that Harvey Weinstein was convicted of is being disgusting. Harvey Weinstein is a very, very disgusting person, both inside and out. I sound like Donald Trump here talking about Rosie O'Donnell. She's a terrible inside and out. Well, Harvey Weinstein might be the most extreme example of that. I don't mean this to be needlessly cruel to Mr. Weinstein. In a way, I'm kind of defending him when I say this. He is physically horrifying. He is just so physically ugly, and his behavior is so repulsive. It's so cartoonishly repulsive that back in the 90s and 2000s, comedy shows would do skits about what a disgusting sexual degenerate predator he was, and perhaps still is. And that's why they convicted him. Because he's not the only one in Hollywood. They're all like that in Hollywood. Not every single one, but many people, maybe most people in his position in Hollywood are like that. But the ones who are not so physically disgusting are more likely to get away with it. With some of the crimes that Harvey Weinstein is accused of, really with most of them, I guess, they took place at places like his hotel room. It was actresses and production assistants and all sorts of showbiz people showing up to Harvey Weinstein's hotel room. You can be the most naive, straight off the bus from Palookaville, new wannabe Hollywood starlet. And you got to know, if you get invited to Harvey Weinstein's hotel room, you are not there to go over spreadsheets, okay? And for some of the crimes that Harvey Weinstein was not only charged with, but convicted of, we're talking about supposed sexual assaults that took place multiple times over an extended period of time. How is that? That's not to excuse his behavior in any way. But it's to point out he wasn't lurking in a back alley in most of these accusations, okay? This was the gross casting couch of Hollywood. And when the figure who is operating the casting couch is relatively good, is not just so grotesque and horrifying, people can kind of rationalize it to themselves. But Harvey Weinstein, just he's just a, it's kind of like the picture of Dorian Gray. You know, he's the picture though, meaning he just represents physically the moral degradation and just horror of Hollywood. And that was a bridge too far. It sounds like I'm being needlessly cruel to this guy, but I'm really just oddly enough kind of defending him. The line that the judges say here is so important. It is an abuse of judicial discretion to permit untested allegations of nothing more than bad behavior that destroys a defendant's character, but sheds no light on their credibility as related to the criminal charges against them. You're not going to find me saying, well, listen, what Harvey Weinstein did technically didn't break the law or technically wasn't proven to have broken the law in XYZ cases. I think basically everything this guy did should be illegal. I think a serious society would outlaw all of the kinds of exploitation and predations that this guy engaged in, at the very least at the local level, maybe at the state level, who knows, maybe at the federal level. Okay, so don't, I'm not exactly a live and let live, you know, two consenting adults can do whatever they want kind of guy when it comes to this stuff. The man abused his power. He exploited women. He committed obviously evil acts and he should pay for it. But let's not pretend that this is something other than what it is. Harvey Weinstein is the scapegoat for decades and decades of moral revulsion in Hollywood. And he is the scapegoat in part because he looks the way many people out there act. And we got to talk about that. There's so much more to say. First, though, go to puretalk.com/Knowles. Thanks to Biden inflation, $20 barely gets you anything these days. But do you know what $20 will get you? From my cell phone company, Pure Talk, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. Pure Talk gives you the same quality of service as your current cell phone provider, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can switch to Pure Talk with the phone and phone number you currently use, or you can take advantage of their great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Making the switch is incredibly easy. Their U.S. customer service team can help you join Pure Talk in as little as 10 minutes. Choose to spend your hard-earned money with a wireless company that shares your values, supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Do not spend another day spending ridiculous amounts on your phone plan. Go to puretalk.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. Right now, our listeners can get an additional 50% off their first month. That is puretalk.com/Knowles, puretalk.com/K-N-O-W-L-E-S. Speaking of weird sex stuff, you know, I'm actually happy. I think this week was relatively low on the weird sex stuff, which is always happy. It's not that I go looking for the weird sex stuff. It's not that the conservatives are out there trying to find the weird sex. It is being foisted on us by the left. We're not the ones who are trying to change the culture. We just observe it. We push back on it a little. And they tell us that you know, somehow we're engaging the sexual revolution. We're not. We're not even fighting back against it. Here's proof of this. In Tennessee, my own state, very conservative, love the place. Even here in Tennessee, where the Republicans dominate politics, there was a bill that came up in the Tennessee State Senate to ban the weird sex flag from public school classrooms. The pride flag, you know, and even the terrorist pride flag, which is the pride flag, but with the triangle and the BLM symbols. And you know that one that I'm talking about? It came up to say, okay, in public school classrooms, taxpayer funded, you don't get to have bizarre leftist weird sex propaganda on the walls. And it failed. It failed. This is because 5 Democrats and 1 Republican, the Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally, voted against it. Now, Randy McNally is going to take a lot of heat for this because he was the one Republican who voted against it and it failed. But 1 Republican voting against it wouldn't have killed this bill. It was also the 8 Republicans who skipped the vote. 8 Republicans, including, who is it? Senator Paul Bailey, Senator Farrell Hale, I'm probably mispronouncing some of these names, Senator Becky Massey, Senator Bill Powers, Senator Shane Reeves, Senator John Stevens, Senator Paige Wally, Senator Beau Watson. They just didn't show up to vote. And so this measure failed. Now, McNally, for his part, came out, you know, he stood by the no vote, and he told the Daily Wire he feared constitutional challenges if the bill became law. such as an adversarial First Amendment ruling against the state. Weak stuff, man. Weak sauce. I don't know. I haven't read the text of the bill. Maybe there's some justification. You think, oh, this wording wasn't quite right. This leaves you open to legal challenge. Okay, well, then bring on the legal challenge or rewrite the law to make it better. But instead, you're going to say, no, actually, look, when the framers of our Constitution were drafting the First Amendment, they were doing so to protect psycho sex freaks from peddling transgenderism on five-year-olds. That's what they were for. That's as American as apple pie. And I, by golly, I might not support your desire to trans my seven-year-old child, but I will defend to the death your right to do it. No, I won't. I'll incarcerate you if I can, if you try to do that, as would all of the founding fathers and the framers and every wise statesman in the history of our country. Even in Tennessee. Even in Tennessee. I don't even say this to beat up on the Tennessee Republicans. It's everywhere. The leftism, the liberalism, it's far more pervasive than we think. Many of us who want to just retreat, who want to, you know, flee the crazy leftist states. I flee Mussolini's California and I go to the conservative states. The popular culture and the liberal order have infected the whole country. There's nowhere that is immune to it. We can't even do it here. That's crazy. I really hope this bill comes up again. I really hope that the Republicans, if there's a problem with the wording, then they fix the wording. If they think there's a legal challenge, fix the legal language. And then find your spines and vote for it. If you are not going to wield your power to control the taxpayer-funded public institutions to say, in many of these classrooms, I bet you're not going to find an American flag, by the way, to say, hey, you can't have really extreme, harmful, weirdo sexual propaganda in the kindergarten classroom. If you can't even say that as a conservative, as a Republican, you are completely useless. There is no point for anyone ever to vote for you. When the salt loses its savor, the salt is good for nothing and will be trodden underfoot. Our chief opponent in politics these days, Joe Biden, is a vegetable, and we are still somehow taking L's. We are still somehow losing because Republicans, they love clenching defeat from the jaws of victory. There's so much more to say. First, though, go to CozyEarth.com, promo code Knowles. As Mother's Day approaches, consider giving her the gift of Cozy Earth, a luxurious sleep experience she truly deserves. Cozy Earth sheets redefine luxury and comfort. Crafted from viscose bamboo, they are temperature regulating, ensuring a restful night's sleep for both hot and cold sleepers. I adore them. Sweet little Alisa loves Cozy Earth sheets and is already clamoring to get more Cozy Earth sheets. She turned to me the other day. She goes, Mac, what is your promo code? I said, excuse me? To get the Cozy Earth sheets, I want to get some more. What's your promo code? I said, I don't know. I might be able to get a freebie. Just give me the promo code, Mac. I want the sheets. All right. Okay. Promo code Knowles. Cozy Earth caters to your unique style and preferences with a wide range of sizes and 11 vibrant colors. Their sheets are not just a purchase, but an investment in comfort and durability. Best part, they get softer with every wash. They're just fabulous. Right now, use promo code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, at checkout for 35% off CozyEarth.com. After placing your order, select podcast in the survey and then select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Do you hear that, sweet little Alisa? That's how you do it. You go to CozyEarth.com, promo code Knowles. My favorite comment yesterday is from Lightweight321, who says, not advisable to ask a college girl in a mask what's going on. Very true. Very true. When the journalist asked that girl at the NYU pro-Palestine protest, hey, what exactly are you protesting? She goes, huh? I don't know. Something about Palestine or something? Did you see there was a video going around of a transvestite promoting drag queens for Palestine, which sums it up. There are some people, I think, who are looking at the crazy pro-Palestine protests around, and they think that it's about this complicated conflict of the Israel-Palestine issue, which has gone on now for, 80 years? And really, if you kind of zoom out, it's gone on for millennia at this point. Well, I think Drag Queens for Palestine shows you it's not really about that. The language of the protest. You are settlers. You are colonizers. You are imperialists. We need to stop your privilege. We're the oppressed, whatever. That is the same language at every leftist protest. That's the language of Occupy Wall Street, okay? That's the language of give America back to the Native Americans, whatever, the Indians. It's the same old stuff. It's the same old libs, including now the drag queens who, if they ever made it to Gaza, would be promptly chucked off a rooftop. But that doesn't matter. It really does. Because some conservatives think that pointing out that fact will stop them. It won't. They are the radical sexual revolutionaries and the leftists, the socialists, the communists, the anarchists, they hate our civilization. They are on a jihad to tear it down. And sometimes that leads them to side with actual jihadis. That's how it goes. Our opponent right now in this race can barely say his own name. Somehow it's still a close race. That is a great indictment of where conservatives stand in the American political system. The latest gaffe from President Biden. Biden versus a teleprompter. Guess who wins?
Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause.
Imagine what we can do next. And then I think he read the other guy's lines. The other guys were supposed to start, I imagine, impromptu, even though it was in prompter, but it was supposed to be impromptu. Four more years. And then Biden's supposed to pause there. But instead, he read everyone's lines, including the stage directions. Can you imagine what we can do? Four more years. Pause. And then they jumped to their feet. I was at the State of the Union this year. I was sitting behind the president and I was looking out at the Democrat side of the House. And the most striking aspect of the whole speech to me was how hard the Democrats were trying to seem passionate about this man. The squad was there. All the usual suspects were there. And they were trying, they were mustering their best acting training to pretend like they were fired up to defend the presidency of Joe Biden. And it was so fake and it was so cringe and nobody believed it. Same thing here. And the evidence of that is they have to write the four more years chance into the teleprompter. And Biden doesn't even know how to play that. Very, very sad for him. Then it gets worse. Biden starts going off about his experience of driving a Mack truck.
Besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler. You know what I do? That's exactly right.
He used to drive an 18-wheeler. He did not. There is no evidence whatsoever that he did that. Even left-wing news outlets have fact-checked this and said, well, you know, unfortunately, actually, no, that isn't true. Back in 2021, he did tour a Mack Trucks facility, and he made this same argument. He said, you know, back when I was a young man, I drove an 18-wheeler. That's right. Same year at a different event. He says, I used to drive a tractor trailer. I did it for part of a summer, but I got my license anyway. So there is further. It's not just that he drove it maybe on one occasion. No. He did it. It was part of a summer and he got his license to drive an 18-wheeler. You need a special license to drive that kind of truck. So there is a chance that Biden was once in a Mack truck, according to an old newspaper clip. Back in 1973, Biden once rode in a truck once for one night and then returned home from the little trip by airplane. That's the closest thing. Trust me, if there were any evidence that Biden had ever driven a Mack truck, it would be plastered all over the news right now. It didn't happen. And so the question is he senile? Does he think this happened, but it didn't really happen? Is he lying? Is he, I guess those are the two options. He could sincerely believe it, but probably, I guess he could sincerely believe it even if he weren't senile. And maybe that's actually the closest thing to what's really going on here. Because Joe Biden, long before senility set in, had been a pathological liar. When I say pathological liar, I don't mean he's a politician. Isn't that an occupational hazard of politics? Yeah, stretching the truth, telling tall tales is an occupational hazard of politics. With Biden, it's different. He would make up stories about the man who killed his wife, who struck an awful car accident, struck his wife. He told the truth about that tragedy for most of his life. And then when the man who was in the car accident died, he started lying about it and said he was a drunk driver. And it was really bizarre, kind of cruel stuff to say. He started doing that. He obviously is making up all these stories, you know, corn pop and that kind of stuff. I think with Joe Biden, this is a guy who has lied for so long that he no longer, certainly doesn't have any care for the truth. He's cynical in that way. And I don't know that he can really discern truth from falsehood. That's one of the problems. You know, when you engage in a vice for long enough and you form enough of a habit, it's really hard to break that habit. And so when you lie, one of the real hazards, not only that you're deceiving people, but eventually you're going to start deceiving yourself. Any vices you fall into are ultimately going to end up hurting you. You go out to the party and you have a couple of drinks and that loosens you up and you have fun. Well, if you have too many drinks for too long a period of time, you really can't ever have fun again. You're just miserable all the time and you just need to satisfy an appetite, a vice. So you go out, you know, you pick up a girl at a bar and maybe you find that very fun. But then if you do that long enough, you're just going to become like a satyr. You know, you're going to become a slave to your passions. It's the same with lying. You do it long enough, you're going to lose your connection to the truth. And then where are you? Totally lost. Now, there's one gaffe that Biden has made recently that Republicans are hitting him on that it seems a little different from the others. This is Biden, according to Republicans, Biden insinuating that his son, Beau Biden, died as a cop.
Every time a police officer puts on that shield every morning, their husband or wife, whatever it is, or child, worries about, will they get that phone call? Will they get that phone call? I got one of those phone calls in a different circumstance.
Okay, and now even the RNC is pushing this clip. And in the comments, a lot of conservatives and different accounts are making fun of him. It does not seem like a good issue to make fun of him on. Beau Biden was not a cop. He didn't die in the line of duty as a police officer. He was the Attorney General of Delaware, and he died of cancer. The guy's son died, okay? I think this is a tasteless line of attack, and I think it's going to backfire on Republicans. Joe Biden has gotten the circumstances of his son's death wrong before, and Republicans have hit him on it then, and I just think it's always tasteless, and it's a useless attack. Because it's not even in the case of when he would start maligning, you know, this man who had struck in a car accident Biden's wife many decades ago. There, it was very clear there was a political purpose. It was kind of a conscious lie. The moment this guy died, the story changed. It was really weird. It didn't garner Biden a lot of sympathy. In this case, we're talking about something decades later. I had a relative who lost a daughter. She never got over it. It's the sort of thing I think one really doesn't ever quite get over. And she would tell everybody. She'd tell anyone who could listen. And sometimes the story would change and she just hadn't grieved properly. And it can drive you mad, totally understandably. I think this is the thing that has happened in Joe Biden's life that makes him most sympathetic. We're talking about a guy who's had other family tragedy, other family members die, but this is toward the end of his life. One of his two sons he's got left, and one of them dies. And it actually makes you really feel for the guy. And some conservatives want to make fun. I don't even think in the clip he was suggesting that Beau Biden was a cop. I think he's saying, I got a phone call once under different circumstances. He's saying under different circumstances. He's saying, my son died too, and I want to talk about it all the time, and I want to tell everyone I can. He could be the shallowest, most corrupt, most glib guy in the world. You still feel for him. It's just like the worst thing that can happen to someone is a kid dying. And classic Republicans, you know, they're gonna focus on that. No, don't. not only is it tasteless, but just from a, as a political matter, you are going to generate more sympathy for Joe Biden. At a time when Biden can't do anything right politically, he's underwater on every major issue. Leave it to Republicans to figure out a way to generate some sympathy for him. Now, speaking of life, there's a story I've got to tease. This is a universal cosmic sort of story. Headline from the Telegraph: the announcement we've found alien life could be just a couple years away. Whoa. And the Telegraph has interviewed scientists here. And the scientists say, this is a little, they're not just saying in principle, it's possible that there's life. It's, they're not just saying, well, there's some weird tic-tac UFOs flying around. They're saying the announcement that we found alien life could be just a couple of years away. I have very strong thoughts on this announcement of a potential announcement. But we have to wait until Monday because today is Friday and I've got to get to your mailbag questions. First, ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've all been waiting for is finally here. The legendary, the iconic Leftist Ears Tumblr has made its triumphant return. The only way to get your hands on it is becoming a new Daily Wire Plus annual member. Your annual membership does not just get you this coveted Tumblr. It opens the doors to a world of unparalleled access to ad-free, uncensored shows from your favorite Daily Wire hosts. Really, just your favorite Daily Wire host, period. You can cut the S. Plus on-demand hit movies, series, and groundbreaking documentaries. And yes, that membership now includes our Leftist Ears Tumblr. So let the soccer moms clutch their Stanleys. Let the techies brag about their Bluetooth smart mugs as you proudly sip from your iconic Leftist Ears Tumblr. And why stop at one? Really, put your money where your values are with an all-access membership, and we will send you not one, but two Leftist Ears Tumblrs for free. Join now as we fight the left and build the future at dailywireplus.com. Our mailbag today is sponsored by Pure Talk. Go to puretalk.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. Right now, our listeners can get an additional 50% off their first month. Take it away.
Howdy, Michael. As a fellow Gen Z member, but not the terminally online type as I am from a super small town in Wyoming, I have a question and a suggestion for you. My question is to the Zoomers, the Gen Zers. I know a lot of us kind of struggle with a bit of self-image, which worst case scenario turns into transgenderism and or suicidality. But I was just wondering if you have any encouraging words to us Gen Zers that have kind of just lost faith in ourselves. And secondly, I suggestion for you for Music Monday is a song that I made with the help of AI called 21 by myself. I'll attach a link to it in this email, but feel free to give that a look if you want. And thank you for all that you do. And I love the show.
Thank you, sir. Very good question. What do you do if you suffer from a lack of confidence in how you look? Because a lot of the, especially the gender ideology, is grounded in just a type of body dysmorphia. You don't like how you look. You don't feel comfortable in your skin. A lot of this sets in during the teenage years when everybody feels uncomfortable in their skin. So that I wouldn't worry about too much. Just know that's part of growing up. But then, okay, what about these other guys? These sad sacks, they say, I'm not a Sigma Giga Chad. I'm not going to get the hot tamale lady of my dreams. What can I do? Well, two things. One, you can do a lot. You can go to the gym. I hear. I do. I went to the gym once. And so you could do that. I've heard about that. And that you could eat better and you could put the cupcake down. That's another thing that you could do. You could shower and comb your hair and put on some nice looking clothing. You can get nice looking clothing for very, very cheap. You can get, you know, Oxford button down shirts for like $20. They're not going to be made of the finest fabrics, but they'll look really good. Okay. This is one of the great byproducts of our market capitalist economies. You can get stuff that looks pretty good for pretty cheap. So do that. But then to get to your point, what about when you come down to, I've got a weak chin or, I'm balding or, I'm short or, I'm whatever. The kind of aspects of your appearance that you can't really change, that bother you. That's where you need to turn away from the self-help, power of positive thinking, I can do anything I want kind of view of things, and turn back toward the traditional religious view of things, which is you accept the challenges that you have in life with a healthy spirit of resignation. The Catholic idea is you kiss it up to God, that suffering is sanctifying. You say, oh, I'm balding. I don't want to be balding. Actually, these days you could probably get some kind of procedure done. But let's say you don't want to do that. Oh, no, I'm balding, or my face is lopsided, or I'm short, or I guess if you're overweight, you could try to lose some weight, I've got some disfigurement or something, and oh, what do I do about it? Not only does one then accept that, but if one really believes in a providential plan that God is the author of history, then you actually can be grateful for it. You can, in the words of St. Paul, you say, I rejoice in my sufferings. I have been given this challenge for a reason. Maybe, you know, I'm balding because if I had perfect hair, it just wouldn't be fair. You know, there wouldn't be any women left for the rest of the guys. So, I'm joking about it a little bit, but that's really got to be your attitude. Oh, good. I rejoice in my sufferings. This is just something to keep me humble. This, okay, good, great. Kiss it up to God and then don't whine, don't complain, go out and do whatever you're going to do. Go get the job, go get the girl, whatever you're after. Next question.
This is Dr. Ann Lesby, head of gender studies at ACL University and best-selling author of Anti-Racist Fetus. This weekend, I had the misfortune of watching your interview with former OnlyFans model Nala Ray. It is always tragic to me when a woman loses her way and backslides into Christianity after finding liberation and feminine power in sex work. While I disagree with Hannah Pearl Davis on nearly everything imaginable, I believe she is correct that former sex workers should not be welcomed by churches or encouraged to change. We should be praising these women for breaking barriers and stigmas, not repenting, getting married, and most especially not encouraging impressionable young women not to engage in sex work. So my question to you, Michael, is how do you live with yourself knowing that you are encouraging women to throw away their livelihoods and abandon their liberation in favor of submitting themselves to the patriarchal religious oppression of the church?
With great caution. Dr. Lesby, that's how I live with myself, with caution and fear and trembling. Great question.
Hi, Michael. I'm kind of a young guy, so a lot of times when older folks realize I'm a conservative, they ask why, and I say because it's good for you. So I've been coming up with some policies that we could put forward in the House and Senate to illustrate the difference between a Democrat-run society, which acts like it cares about you but actually makes your life worse, and a Republican society that has the opportunity now to care about all three things, family, health, your lifestyle, community. And I'm hoping that you can give me your opinion on this policy. So I was at a baseball game the other day, and I realized the sound system was so loud that I probably would have gone deaf, and everyone in the stadium might have gone deaf if we had stayed there long enough. And that's the case at concerts all across the country now, unless you're going to a classical concert, in which case they still have some aesthetic taste. What if we had federal legislation to limit decibel sound output so that we could protect people's hearing? Because what good is the freedom of speech without the freedom to hear? I'm hoping to get your thoughts on this because I think it's both a matter of safety and a matter of aesthetic taste. And I think that's a unique avenue for Republicans to go down right now. Thank you.
Sure. Probably the area your proposal would fall flat is that it is a federal proposal. The principle of subsidiarity would maybe suggest that this legislation should be done at a more local level. I'm not sure that the courts would permit, you know, a federal regulation of rock concerts. But at a local level, I think it's a great idea. And there are already in cities rules about this. In as much as a venue cannot host music that is so loud that it disturbs the rest of the neighborhood. But your proposal goes further, I think. And this is what makes it quite interesting, is you're saying it's not just damaging to the rest of the neighborhood to have these really loud concerts. It can be harmful to the people in the room, and there should be some regulation of that. And also, music that is just that loud is probably bad music, which is bad for the soul. I don't think I'm reading too far into your question. And as Plato points out, music goes past the rational faculty, speaks directly to the soul. That's what makes it so powerful. That's what makes it so dangerous. And so as a matter of, as you would describe, aesthetic taste, but really as a matter of just crafting beautiful places, you're saying we should punish musical performances that are too loud, because that's a good sign that it's bad music, and we should strongly encourage them through the law to be more beautiful. That is very clever. If you try to make that argument in a city council meeting, people are going to look at you like you have three heads, and they'll probably laugh you out of the room. But the principle there is a very good one. As I observe, it goes back all the way to Plato, at least, and has been rearticulated famously in America in recent years by Alan Bloom, the author of Closing of the American Mind. So I like that idea, but you got to be very careful about it. You want to swing a sledgehammer and have federal legislation to, you know, ban the Rolling Stones from America 60 years after they started their career. Maybe start a little more locally and speak in a way that's a little more accessible to ordinary people who don't spend their life thinking about political philosophy. And maybe you can accomplish the ends that you're looking for, because in principle, it's a good idea. Next question.
Hey, Michael, this is Marissa, and I have a question for you because I can't decide if I am in the wrong for my opinion on this. So over the weekend, LSU's women's gymnastics team won the national championship, which is a big deal. And all outlets were just covering, oh, this is Olivia Dunn's LSU's gymnastics team. Livy Dunn this, Livy Dunn that. All of the headlines were about Livy Dunn. And if you don't know who that is, she's a glorified OnlyFans gymnast at LSU, who is just scantily clad, kind of pimping herself out on social media. So while I understand why the media outlets would focus on her, she didn't even participate as one of the six gymnasts in this meet. So she really didn't do anything. And it's not like the other girls are ugly. They're all cute gymnasts who are in shape wearing the exact same thing. So am I wrong for being annoyed at this? Would love to know your thoughts. Thanks.
Rarely does a question come up in the mailbag that I know absolutely nothing about. Like, I don't even know the first detail of the first sentence of the question.
Michael, can I say something here, please?
Yes, Professor, sure.
I don't know who Melissa or Marissa, whatever her name is. She's just a hater. I'm going to be honest with you.
You know who Livy Dunn is? Of course you know who Livy Dunn
Listen,
is.
Listen,
do you follow her on social media?
I'm not going to say I have some crazy intellectual take here. She's just extremely hot, and I will defend her with every single inch of willpower that I have.
Because maybe this is proving the point, actually, of the questioner. Is the girl, she seemed to insinuate that the girl is like a porn actress or something.
She does not have an OnlyFans. She is not a porn star. She is just very viral on social media, and she's a gymnast, so she like posts herself in her gymnast attire.
Okay, now hold on. I want you to be very straight with me right now. Well, I guess you're being very straight because you're just openly lusting in public over this gymnast girl. But I mean, I want you to be straight. I want you to be blunt. Does this girl's content on social media appeal primarily to the prurient interest? You know, is she just jiggling around to get men to ogle her, or is she just doing her gymnast thing and that happens to be attractive?
No comment.
There we go. Okay, I guess, look, I don't want to besmirch the gymnast girl or whatever, but it's given Professor Jacob's failure to defend the gymnast, then maybe the questioner has a point. And I guess I could investigate this myself by looking up her social media channels, but I'm not going to do that because I've been to confession recently and I just don't need that. I'm a married man and a father of three. I don't need to do that. The rest of the show continues now. You don't want to miss this. Become a member and use code Knowles, KNOWLES, at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans.